In your Bible, in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, you'll find these words. In the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have everlasting or eternal life. I'd like to couple with that 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And now I want us to bow our heads for prayer, and I promise you I'll not speak very long tonight. And our Heavenly Father, I'm going to preach a very simple sermon tonight entitled Blessed Assurance. And I pray tonight that everyone here who has ever had any doubts whatsoever about salvation will listen very, very carefully. I pray tonight that those who have the absolute assurance of salvation will listen and make notes so as to share with their friends who may be in doubt some of the things they're going to learn here tonight. Dear Lord, I was thinking, as others have spoken, I was thinking about my tired voice. Speaking last year 20 times a week. And I don't know how many times this year, constantly speaking. In chapel in the morning, I remember one three-day period recently where I spoke 13 times in 3 days. I was thinking about my tired voice. And in my heart, I wished that I had a better voice to preach the gospel with. But then the thought occurred to me, no matter how bad the voice, if I did have a better voice, I could preach the gospel better, but I could not preach a better gospel. And so I'll take the weak, tired voice that I have, and I'll share very simply tonight some facts concerning the blessed assurance of salvation. May the Holy Spirit absolutely control me and help me to think my thoughts after Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. May I say to you tonight that God wants you to know absolutely for sure that if you died, you would go to heaven. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things write we unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have everlasting life." If you were to read those five chapters in 1 John very carefully, you would find the expression, "We know, we know, we know, we know," at least 14 times in those five chapters. And everybody who is saved can know absolutely for sure that he is saved and that he is going to heaven. Oh, there may be times when you'll have your doubts, but those doubts can be settled. If you're here tonight and you doubt whether or not you are going to heaven when you die, there's really only two things that you can be doubting. You're either doubting that you're fully trusting Jesus Christ for your salvation, or you're doubting that God meant what He said in the Bible. That's the only two things a man can really doubt. I know some people think, well, if I get up and say, "I know that I'm going to heaven when I die," I'm presumptuous. I'm implying by that statement that I think I'm very good and I'm very deserving. But I want you to know that when I say that I know I'm going to heaven, I do not say it because I think I deserve heaven. I know that I do not deserve heaven, but if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. But I say that I know I'm going to heaven because of something that God has written down in the Bible. And for me to doubt that I'm going to heaven or be afraid to say I know that I'm going to heaven means that I really wonder if God meant what He said when He wrote something down in the Bible. So I'm not pious or presumptuous when I say I know I'm saved. I'm simply taking Jesus Christ at His Word and asking no questions and having no doubt that His Word is truth. And really, you cannot have anything better for the basis of your assurance than what God has written down in the Bible. Your feelings will come and go. Your memory will come and go. Your experiences will come and go, and some days you'll have wonderful experiences, and the other day it'll be a blah, drab, depressing sort of a day. While everything else changes, one thing never changes. God's Word never changes. Isaiah 40:29 said, "The flower fadeth, the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." And Mark 13:31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away." What God has written down in this book will stand forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible is the Word of God. I have no doubt about that. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive. And bad men would not, if they could, proceed to write a book so good. And no crazy man could ever conceive its wondrous plan. So pray, what other kind of men than do these three groups comprehend? So it must be that God inspired the words that souls of prophets fire. There's enough logic in that little poem to make any reasonable man believe the Bible is the Word of God. And God said, in that Bible, I have written something down so that you can know you have everlasting life. May I say in the first place, until you have everlasting life, there will never be a real fullness of joy in your heart. And until you know you have everlasting life, there will never be fullness of joy. It almost seems like it's a contradiction in the book of 1 John. Because in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "These things write we unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have everlasting life." And then he turns around in verse 4 of chapter 1 and says, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." And I feel like asking the question, well, which is right? Verse 4 of chapter 1 or verse 13 of chapter 5? Did you write 1 John that we could know we had everlasting life, or did you write it that our joy should be full? You gave both reasons for writing it. The truth of the matter is, fullness of joy and assurance of salvation are Siamese twins. I've never met a man who had fullness of joy unless he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that he was saved. The world is filled with Christians who are animated question marks. Do you really know if you die you'll go to heaven? Raise your hand, they'll scratch their ear and raise it about that much and put it down, look around. We need to get changed from animated question marks and straightened out into exclamation points and say, "I know I'm saved." When you got that settled, then you can have fullness of joy. But until you do, you'll never be a happy Christian. You'll be up one day and down the next. May I say hurriedly, too, there'll be no real genuine service for Christ until you get the matter of your assurance settled. I've never known a useful Christian in the service of Christ who did not have the assurance of salvation, said D.L. Moody. You can't put your all into Christian service until you know for sure that you're saved. When they were constructing the largest bridge in the world, the longest bridge in the world, during the first half of the construction of that bridge, a number of men fell to their deaths. But before they began the construction of the last half of that bridge, They spent over $100,000 for safety nets and placed safety nets under the men so if they did fall, they would be caught in the net and be safe. When the bridge was finished, not only had they not lost a life, but they found that the workmen produced 25% more when they were sure that they were safe. And I'm absolutely sure that that's correct in the service of God, that we produce a lot more for Christ when we've got the matter of salvation settled and we know that we know that we know we're saved. May I move on to say this? Why is it that we sometimes doubt our salvation? And may I tell you, I was saved when I was 11 years old. On an old iron bedstead, somewhere past midnight. My first feeling was to get up and go tell Mother and Daddy that I was saved. And before I could get over the foot of the bed, the devil had met me and said, "Don't wake up your mother and daddy. They're sleeping. And they'll ask you a lot of questions about it. They'll want to make sure that you know what you're doing, and just don't bother them about it." I sat there and argued with the devil 5 minutes, and he won the argument. And I went back to bed and went to sleep. I knew that night that heaven was my home. I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But it wasn't long after that till, as a young Christian, I had committed some sins. Not nothing what you'd call awful, but all sin is awful in God's sight. I disobeyed my parents. I had said ugly things to their backs when they were not looking. It wasn't long before that good feeling that I had in my heart had vanished. And the devil began to question me and say, "You don't feel as good as you felt the night you really got saved, do you?" And I said, "No. You didn't really get saved that night. That's what's wrong with you." And you know, from the time I was 11 years old and I was 25 years old, I went through life basing my assurance on my feelings, not knowing that my feelings were determined by my obedience to the commands of Scripture. And I felt good or bad depending on how obedient I was to Christ. John 13:17 says, you're talking about John 13:18. John 13:17 says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." John's trying to throw me off over here helping me. Notice what it said. "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." You're not happy because you know what the Bible says, but you're happy when you obey what you know the Bible says. Happiness is the child of obedience. The whole purpose of learning is for doing. The Word of God is a lamp under our feet. You don't sit and stare at a lamp, you'll go blind. You put the lamp down and you walk in the light of the lamp. That's the whole purpose of it. My feelings are determined by how obedient I am to Christ. My feelings come and go depending upon my obedience to Christ. And when I base my assurance on my good feelings, the result is when I begin to feel bad, then I begin to doubt my salvation. So be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. Sure, I feel bad sometimes, and so do you. But you're just as saved when you feel bad as you are when you feel good. Let me show you something. I feel good tonight. But I don't know I'm saved because I feel good. I know I'm saved because the Bible says so. And I feel good because I know I'm saved. Now, as long as you keep in that order, you'll be all right. But when you say, "I know I'm saved because I feel good," you'll pretty soon feel bad. And you may be like the old lady that I knew about who felt bad all the time. She even said, "I feel bad when I feel good because I know I'll feel bad again after a while." She never could have had assurance of her salvation. Some people doubt their salvation because they base their assurance on their feelings. Doubt their salvation because they did not have the same experience that somebody else had. I remember that old country church where I used to attend. We didn't have too many converts, but when we did have converts, they put on a demonstration. Man, I've seen them get saved and literally get up from the altar area and shout. I've seen them run up the church out and throw hymn books at the congregation. I watched some of those ladies shout and shake their head till all the hairpins came out and the hair was hanging down and whipping, popping like a whip. Pow, pow, pow. And the preacher did me a lot of good. He'd get up behind that experience and say, "Boy, old sister so-and-so sure got a dose of old-time heartfelt religion tonight." And I sat back there as a little kid, just had been saved. And I thought, if old sister so-and-so sure got a dose of old-time heartfelt religion, I got a counterfeit. Because I didn't get up and shake my head and throw songbooks and run over somebody. And the preacher made me doubt my salvation because I didn't have the experience that old Sister Flapjaw had. I'm going to tell you something. I've been a pastor 21 years and I have learned that you can't tell by the honk of the horn how much gas is in the tank. I had one man in my church get saved and run out of the building and down to a beggar last patch. He came back about an hour later and beggar last all over him. And I said, he sure got a dose of old-time religion. And today the FBI can't find him. And the reason I know is they're looking for him. Salvation is not necessarily a demonstration. I'm not against emotionalism. I'm not against a lot of it when you feel like it. But I'm saying don't doubt your salvation because you didn't do the same thing that another fellow did. And other folks doubt their salvation because they can't remember the exact time. And I want you to follow me in this. I was saved when I was 11 years old. Late at night, on an iron bedstead, with my face turned toward the wall. If you ask me tonight, Dr. Hudson, what month was it when you were saved, I could not tell you. I was a country boy who never saw a calendar but about once a year. I didn't have a watch. Only rich people had watches. And if I had a watch and a calendar, time meant nothing to me then. I never looked at a calendar. I couldn't have guessed within 2 months when it was. I know it was warm enough that I was out from under the cover. It must have been in the summer. Oh, they had the old stove going wide open, one or the other. I don't remember the day and hour I was saved. But you know something? The assurance of my salvation does not rest on my ability to remember. If it did, if we got saved and then bumped into a wall and lost our memory, we'd lose our salvation with our memory. Talk to me now. Some of you are like the man who went to the doctor and said, "Doc, there's something wrong with me. I can't remember anything." He said, "Sit down and tell me about it." He said, "Tell you about what?" As Carl Hatch did that. Now, we sing a song. You may have done it here or somewhere around here, but they used to sing it, and it bothered me when they'd do it. They'd say, "Somebody touched me," and they'd say, "It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me." And they'd sing, "It was on a Tuesday." Then they'd do a real spiritual thing. They'd say, "Everybody was saved on a Sunday. When we say it's on a Sunday, stand. If you were saved on a Monday, when we say it's on a Monday, you stand." And I always got embarrassed because I didn't remember what day I got saved. And so I didn't stand on any day and they'd look at me and say, I don't guess the preacher saved. Well, the preacher saved. I'm not saved. Nobody's saved. Because I done what the Bible said you're supposed to do to get saved. Some doubt because they didn't have the experience somebody else had, and some doubt because they base their assurance on their feelings, and some doubt because they don't remember the day and hour. I used to hear them get up and testify in the country church, and it sounds so good. Old Brother Brown would get up and say, I was saved on August the 22nd, 1923. I'll never forget it. I was down behind the cow barn and down beneath the third terrace. The big cornfield. The sun was shining bright. I'll never forget it. It was about 1:15 in the afternoon. I was in the eighth row of corn and about 6 ears up. There was two red birds sitting on the fence making love to each other. And a blue jay and a pine tree next to me and a kookaburra fell on my head. I'll never forget it. I knelt down, prayed 2 hours and 15 minutes and 8 seconds and glory came down. Woo! And he goes out. And you know, for years, I worked on a testimony. I tried to work up one. I said, I'm going to have the best one in the world. There's going to be 3 red birds on my fence. And 2 blue jays in my tree. And I hear people give a testimony like Carl Hatch gives, and I think I can't preach, you know, because I never did get drunk. I never was a dope addict. I never been doped on marijuana. I was dope one time and want to marry. But if you base your assurance on your feelings or on your ability to remember or doubt because you didn't have somebody else's experience, you will never have lasting assurance of salvation. God Almighty never gave you but one thing for the basis of your assurance. These things write we unto you. He said, I've written something down in a book so that you can know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. I'd rather have what God says in this book for the assurance of my salvation than to have every angel in heaven come down here tonight to the Century 2 Concert Center. Unless say Gabriel came down here, come across the platform. Say, Gabe, how you doing? He and I know each other very well on a first name basis. How you doing, Gabe? Fine. Dr. Hudson, the Lord sent me down here tonight to tell you that you had everlasting life and you'll never perish. You're going to heaven when you die. I say, Gabe, you need not have wore your wings out. I like you, Gabe, and all that stuff. But some of your crowd fail. You and going back to heaven, Gabe, I got something better than your message. I got God's message here. I'd rather have the written word for the basis of my assurance than to have God Almighty Himself make an appearance in the Century Concert Center. And stand here on the platform and say, Dr. Hudson, I just want you to know, so you never doubt your salvation again. I want you to know, Dr. Hudson, you have everlasting life and you'll never perish. If God stood here and told me that, I would believe it. But after a few months, I'd get to doubt it. I'd say, Lord, did God ever come see you? It's to know. Ron, God ever come see you? No. Red, God ever come see you? No. Carl, God ever come down and talk to you in person? No. John, ever come talk to you? No.
then I get the one if he came down and talked to me. I said, it must have been one of them dreams I had that seemed so real. And I'd go to doubt my salvation again. Because I couldn't get him back down again. Amen. You know, I'm going to get used to preaching to y'all. When I pastored Forest Hills Baptist Church, we had amen rehearsals. And the signal was, when I did like this, everybody said amen. And I still do it, and I forget that you don't know. So next time I bend my ear, let me have it. Yeah. We should have done that Sunday night. Would have been off to a good start. Well, God wrote something in the book so I could know I'm saved. These things write we unto you. And you know something? Everything we do, we want it in black and white. You go to buy a new car, and I'll give you $3,700. That must have been a long time ago when I bought one. So that's 600 alt Dolphin. Man said, all right, I'll take it. Good, that's fine. It doesn't stop there. You pull out a sales contract and put it all down in black and white, and the man signs his name to it. I'll go over to see Ron. Ron, I bought a new car. Yeah? But I don't have the car yet. All it has is a piece of paper. But the piece of paper to me is as good as the car. It's a signed contract in black and white. And he came back out on it. When you buy a house, you want it in black and white on a contract. Did you know we have our salvation and the assurance of it written down in black and white? And if we ever doubt we're saved, all we got to do is turn back there and see if it's still in there. As long as it's in there, I'm saved.
Amen.
Let me just give you one verse and I'll close. I'm not through. I'm getting blessed by my own preaching. This wire helps. Johnny Moore's anointed this microphone. It spit any one, I don't know which. We want everything we got in black and white. All right, the Bible said in John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life.
Amen.
If I know I'm believing on the Son, then I know I have everlasting life because God said so in this book.
Amen.
And if I did not have everlasting life, God would stand to lose more than I would. I would only lose my salvation, but God Almighty would lose His integrity. And He would turn out to be a liar after all. But when God says something, you can stand on it.
Amen.
If you say, Dr. Justin, you know you're going to heaven? Absolutely, yes, sir, Bob.
Amen.
Why? God said so in here. And for me to doubt that I have everlasting life is to doubt that God said what He meant what He said in here. Some of you trust Christ and I say, you know you're going to heaven. You say, well, I hope so. You know what you're saying? I sure hope God told the truth. Perish the thought, man. What do you mean you hope God told the truth? Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. And Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. And Romans 3:3-4 says let God be true and let every man be a liar. And John 14:6 says I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm saved. Because I know I'm trusting Jesus Christ completely and He said so and He can't lie and that settles it. Heard somebody say the other day, God said it and I believe it and that settles it. And I said, you're wrong. God said it and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Forever. Getting dooder and dooder and tweeter and tweeter. God said it.
God said it.
If anybody in here has any doubt at all about your salvation, the least doubt, you know what you ought to do? You ought to come and get on your knees and say, "Dear God, I know I'm trusting you. And I've been sinning and hoping you told the truth in the Bible. Perish the thought. I know you told the truth, and I know I'm saved. Thank you for the written word."
Amen.
And you'll leave here with a spring in your walk.
Amen.
Sugar Ray Seals is boxing over here. Start at 9 o'clock. He's been going about the first round. Last night, Brother Ray Hart was sitting out on front of the hotel singing. Not exactly like that, but something like that. And I thought, I'm not going to go around where he's singing. He'll embarrass me singing out so loud. So I went around the other side, went in. And Carl came right by me. And Sugar Ray and his trainer came walking by, and when Ray was saying, "Oh!" they stopped and applauded him. Said, "That's good." And Carl called them over and asked them if they died to know they'd go to heaven. They said no. And Carl took the Bible and led them both to Christ there on the walk. And they knelt down on the concrete like two little babies and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior last night. Carl didn't know who he was. Carl come in and Ray and said, "We led two black boys the Lord out there a while ago." I said, "You get the name?" "Yeah, Ray Seals." And his dress. I said, "That's Sugar Ray Seals." They didn't know who Sugar Ray Seals was. So it was one of my girlfriends. They said, "Sugar Ray Seals." I said, "Man, he won the gold medal. The only one that won a gold medal in boxing in 72 in the World Olympics." I said, "He's the classiest middleweight boxer on foot." I said, "Man, he just skipped around in there. He can fight." I said, "He's going to be the next middleweight champion of the world. He just got saved." I said, "Where is he?" Carl said, "Let's go find him." I said, "I want to see him." I said, "I want to make sure you grounded him good. I want him to leave Wichita and not know he's saved." So Carl called, got a pump us to see him today at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock went into his room. I said, "We want to talk with you. I don't want you ever doubt your salvation. We'll make dead sure you know you're saved." Gave him the same lesson I just gave you, only not in total. And I acted out a little thing. I said, "Suppose I'm Jesus and I walk in and I say, 'Sugar Ray, I know. Excuse me. Sugar Ray, I know that you've sinned. But I died for you on the cross to pay your sin debt. And Ray, if you'll trust me to get you to heaven, I'll give you everlasting life. Will you trust me, Ray?'" I said, "What would you tell Jesus?" He said, "I'd tell him yes." His trainer, George Rice, said, "I'd tell him yes, too." I said, "Then Jesus would say to you, 'You have everlasting life and you'll never perish.'" And I turned and walked out of the room. I said, Jesus walks out of the room now. I said, now me and the hatchet man comes back in behind me, Jesus. We don't know Jesus has been here. And we say, Sugar Ray, you going to heaven? What'd you say? You say, yes, sir. How you know you're going to heaven? He said, because Jesus told me so. Amen. I said, that's it. And that's how everybody knows they're going to heaven, because Jesus told them so.
Amen.
And I opened the Bible and said, he didn't tell you in person, but he told you in this book. And that's better than having to tell you in person.
Amen.
So Carl said, if suppose somebody walks up to you 10 years from now and asks you, you're going to heaven, what are you going to say? You're going to tell them, yes, sir. How you know? Because Jesus said so.
Amen.
Where did it happen? In Wichita, Kansas.
Amen.
I said, you got it.
Amen. Called his mama.
Then he got on the phone last night. He got back to his room and called his mama. I said, Mama, I just got saved. She said, hallelujah, Sugar Ray. Go on. And his trainer, God bless him, said, right on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Excuse me. I didn't mean to do that. I just come out before I get over it. I said, Ray, can we tell people you got saved? Yes, sir. I said, I write a soul winning column. Can I write it in the paper? And I write for it? Yes, sir. I know you have a promoter on the contract, too. I said, but if we want you to come give a testimony in the campaign, would you come? Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's worth your whole revival meeting right there.
Amen.
When Muhammad Ali fights and gets through, he said, I thank my God, Allah, Allah. I said, Ray, if they put a microphone in front of your mouth tonight, I said, you want to say, I thank Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He said, I am. Let's hope he wins. Let's pray that he wins. God help him. Oh, that's wonderful. Good night. We ought to try to go see the biggest, meanest people, the richest people, the poorest people in Wichita and try to get them all saved. About 6 months from now, we'll have a rolling. Then give me the amens on that one there. If not so, we'll be rolling on Saturday ourselves. I forgot to check my time tonight. I took this out one night several times. A little boy came up to me after the service and pulled it out of my pocket and looked at it. He says, that watch work? In about 15 minutes, I saw Carl hand him $10 and grin. The first part's true, the last part's not. Every single one of you ought to be back tomorrow night and Friday night.
Amen.
You ought to bring every friend you've got and let us preach the gospel and try to win them to Christ. Let us stand quietly and reverently. No one leave the building, please.